Good to have you here this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank God for another year that we can come and celebrate what He has in store for us. And God's got a plan, and we're a part of that plan. Amen. The more I study His Word, the more I'm reinforced with that thought of God has a plan. He's got everything worked out from the beginning to the end. And we certainly have seen that as we begin to study last week, 1 Peter chapter 3. Last week we were studying that and looking at some, 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we begin to look at the thought of a new world. A new world coming. I know we've heard that a lot. It even alludes to that in the Bible, in the Word that we've been studying in. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit today. But last week, we began to talk about the past world. That Peter identifies three worlds. He identifies a past world, a present world, and then a world that is to come. So I want us to go back this week. We talked about last week the past world. So go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. We'll touch on that just a second. And then we're going to go into the present world. It says here in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. We began last week by talking about that you'll hear a lot about in the news from time to time, a new world order. For time's sake, we won't regress over everything that we talked about last week, but no man can bring order, only God. And so God shows us in His Word that we are to trust His Word because the Word never fails. So as we study His Word, we see that God has time in the palm of His hand. Timing with God is more important than time. I want you to think about that. Timing with God is more important than time because God has everything matrixed out to the split second. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? That He knows everything. He's got it all planned out. But He loves us enough to send the Holy Spirit to illuminate His Word so that we can know. Now, we don't know the time and the day that He's coming, but we know He's coming. And the Lord says, when you see these signs, know that He's coming. I want you to know with all the outbursts that's going on in the world today, in all the seemingly uncontrolled atmosphere, God is certainly in control. God never loses control. He never wakes up in the morning because He never sleeps. He's constantly aware of what's going on. And we see how big God is when He anoints men like John and Peter and all the different authors in the Bible, in this particular case, Simon Peter, when He anoints them to write these words, we believe that every word is inspired by God. I know that because these men are writing things down that they don't even understand. And so we see that here. Some people say that God's not going to come. That's just a myth. That's just something that you people conjure up. You Christians really get to me because you always play on people's sympathies and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not playing on anything. We're just preaching you the truth. God's Word is true. Amen. This world that we know now will come to an end. That's not to scare anybody. That's not to, you know, be a doomsday preacher. That's just simply understanding truth. God's given us His Word to prove to us it's already happened. See, God destroying a world It's already happened. It's just like we told you last week, the rapture's already happened. Enoch was raptured away. God's already done it. So it's not a matter of something new. And what he's trying to tell us, and you got to get this part right here. This is the part right here that the enemy don't want you to hear, is everything in this earth is going to be judged. Every person. So it matters not. You certainly, if I was the enemy, I would tear down the walls. I would tear down the ropes. And I'd tell people, you can do anything you want to do. And help them believe that. Because there'll come a day, and I owe you enough respect and love in order for you to preach you the truth. But there's going to come a day that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, and you're going to look over there, and Lucifer's going to be on his knees too. Because there's only one God. There are many hopefuls, there are many try-to-bes, there's many, you know, we've seen that when Elijah prayed fire down from heaven, and there was hundreds of Baal's prophets there praying all day long to whatever God that they thought. But Elijah steps up and prays a 63-word prayer to one God who is only one God. And he consumes, now get this part, he consumes the sacrifice and the rocks. Now, how can God do that? We're going to show you in just a minute how God can do that, because you got to understand him. When he stood on nothing and spoke this world into existence, he created everything. Scientists kind of are funny sometimes when they come across something that they think is just wonderful, wonderful news. God already knew that. He just let them find it out. How many of you know his ways are higher than our ways? So, we're going to begin the second part of this message today with talking about the present world. There's a new world coming. Past world, Peter talks about, was destroyed just like God said, by fire. You remember that Noah preached 120 years old. 120 years he preached. And then the rain came. Why did God let it go on so long? Because he's a long-suffering God. I don't want to get back into that again, but he is a long-suffering God. Second part now is the present world. So let's look at verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. Now the powerful part of this verse is that phrase there, kept in store. So underline that or think about it in your Bible. If you don't like to write in your Bible, at least think about it. Because that is a supernatural term there. So it says, but the heavens. Peter's talking about the past earth, the past world. Now he's talking about this world we're in now. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word. Let me say this to you. I feel a strong anointing here today. Every word that proceeds from God's mouth is truth. He cannot lie. So if he says that this world is going to be destroyed by fire, it's going to be destroyed. It might be 120 years of preaching before it ever happens. But guess what? God doesn't forget. And it doesn't matter how much the world says there is no God, he will show them in days to come. Do you hear me? He will show them in days to come. And the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word. Now what Peter's doing right here, he's prophesying. He don't even realize it. He's under the anointing. He's inspired by God to write these words down. And he's prophesying to the world that we live in right now, saying, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire. reserved unto fire. Another translation that is made out of fire. What does that mean? We'll see in just a second. Against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. That's powerful right there. So, the past world was destroyed by a flood. This present world is going to be destroyed by fire. As I said, it was kept in store. Now, what does that mean? That means God is the most magnificent minded creation. I mean, he's... I can't put anybody in his category because there's nobody like God. He is such a genius. He is such a... And we all worry, we all go through things in life, and we all... But if you only knew the matrix in the mind of God, there's nothing that he can't do. Because if you're dealing with somebody that there's nothing that he can't do, in other words, if it's not created, he can create it. He can say things like, where there is not a way, he'll make a way. He can say things like, I am the way. When your back's against the wall and you have nowhere to go, he can make somewhere to go. Is he awesome or what? So he begins to allude here, fire, fire. Look at verses 10 through 11 of the same chapter. I want to touch on something here. Verses 10 through 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Hold your thought right there and go back to verse 7. It says, the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire. Hold your thought there. All right, go back to verse 10. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's another message right there. So if you know these things, how should you be living? That's really what he's saying. But let me explain that, what's going on. We live in a nuclear age. It says here, reserved unto fire. In the Greek, that means stored with fire. Or another translation is the world stored with fire. We live in a nuclear age, which is an atomic structure. We're all familiar with the atom, the nucleus of the atom. There's positive and electrical charge around the nucleus, molecularly particles. We call them electrons that are of a negative charge, and there's negative and positive charges going around. And as I studied this, I was amazed, but billions of times in the middle of an atom, around that nuclear structure, there's a positive and negative charge flowing billions of times in a millisecond. When I studied that, I just sat right back, put my books down, and I said, what an awesome God we serve. He'll throw some stuff in there like that because just, no, you're not going to understand that. But he figured that up in 6 days. Amen. Is he bad or what? He has a Superman shirt. I want y'all to understand that. Amen. Positive and negative attract one another. And guess what? It keeps things together. So atoms keep us together with an electric charge and a positive charge, protons and neutrons as they circle around this nucleus. It holds us together. Colossians alluded to that in chapter 1, verse 17. It says, by him all things consist. Do you realize that we are able to stand in this building today and that we're able to put our hands on things that are seen, but the things that hold it together are not seen? God has a structure. Hebrews 11:3 says, things seen made out of things that are not seen. So I understand faith a little bit better now. Though I can't see everything, I know that what I can't see is God, and He's going to make a way where there is no way. Does that make sense? In other words, one writer put it this way to help people like me, said that the visible is made out of invisible. So 2 Peter says here, stored with fire, or translated, held together with fire, or another translation said, charged with fire. So the fire is already here in this world right now. The elements, the Bible says, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, are going to melt with fervent heat. See, what is that? God is going to move His hand, or God is going to shake His fingers, and all of a sudden the things that are together are going to be coming apart. I want to be on the God side, don't you? Don't you know when God spoke to a black nothing and said, let there be, He held it together with something? So everything I got is God's, whether I admit it or not, because He holds it all together. Remember that little song we used to sing in Bible school? He's got the whole world. In His hands, He's got the whole world. Y'all remember that? And that's so true. We didn't realize it when we were singing that as a little child. We see a picture. I've seen pictures of Him with a world in His hand. And how little did I know that Peter was being anointed by the Holy Ghost to write these words down. That, yeah, He does. He's got it all. And the scientists call it an atom. I call it supernatural power of God. The element is the basic entity of creation. Fervent. You know what fervent means? It's a medical term. And it means fever. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, it says that the world is going to be burned up. Preacher, why are you preaching all this doom? I was hoping you preach something to make me happy and all. This should make you happy. Because God has got the world in control, and it seems like the devil and the TV and everything else is going to crazy. And it seems like that God is nowhere, but honey, God is everywhere. He's going to let them have their day, just like they did in Noah's day. He's going to let them have their day. But then there's going to come that day when God is going to dissolve. And this structure and all these things that stand up, the Bible says, are going to be melted away. Amen. Think about that just a minute. Burned up. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, 11. Let me read that to you just one more time. Have you got a second? Amen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How many times have we heard that? All right, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, or as we studied, with fever heat, and shall melt in fervent heat, and the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. Now what does burned up mean? You know what it means? It means to be dissolved. It means to loose. Matthew 3, it's the same word in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, when it said that I'm not worthy to unlatch His shoelace. You remember that scripture? It's the same Greek word. It's the same word. In John 11, 44, it's the same word when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth Lazarus, loose him. You remember when Jesus said, loose him? It's the same word. And God's going to speak that over this world. And all the evil, and all the ungodliness, and all the things that seemingly that the devil has whispered to us and said, well, that's not fair. They got away with this and they got away with that. Let me tell you what, there's coming a day. You don't have to believe it. They didn't believe it in Noah's day. They're not going to believe it in this day. But there's coming a day the door's going to be shut and nobody's going to be able to enter in. And God's going to shake his hand and everything's going to dissolve. We can't handle it when a power outlet comes and throws the computer system off. Right? Go to a store and try to get them to figure out something with a pen and paper. I was helping a poor little girl the other day, and she had the computer, and it tells you how much money to give. Bless her heart. She couldn't even count it. So, honey, you don't give me too much money. Here's what you're supposed to give me back. You give me this. Okay. Bless her heart. My mom used to say, bless her heart. But there's coming a day when nobody can figure it out. Amen? Aren't you glad you're on the Lord's side this morning? Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about all this? Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about all this? Because God's going to rapture us away. He's going to take care of his church. And then he's going to turn around to this world. And he's going to show them who God is. Let me give you this thing. So, Peter describes, I got just a few more minutes. Peter describes our present world. So let's go back to 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. I want you to see something here. I've proven to you by God's word what he means by this. Let's look at the reaction. Peter describes the present world as this. Number one, it's a scoffer world. It's a scoffer world. Look at verse 3. Knowing this. Now, the word knowing is a very powerful word right here. When you study the word of God, you cannot miss any word. Knowing is critical because the Bible says my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. So he's saying here, I want you to know this. You got to know that God's a God of his word. You got to know that God cannot fail. You got to know that God's word is true. No matter how it comes, because let me tell you what, it doesn't matter what the TV says, it doesn't matter what all these people say about God's word, it's true. Let me say this to you. God will not be moved off of truth. Where they messed up with Jesus and him hanging on the cross, if you be the Son of God, you come on down. That latter part didn't even move him. He might not even heard what they said. The if part's what got him. I know who I am. I'm not moving. And I'm going to hang here long as I want to hang here. But when I get tired of hanging here, I'm going to fall asleep for a little while. I'm going to step into death. But I'm going to show death who I am. Is that a powerful God or what? He died when he wanted to. And when he died when he wanted to, then he came alive when he wanted to. He done said 3 days. He done prophesied 3 days. So he had to come back in 3 days because he's a God of his word. And the enemy didn't have enough sense to know he was falling into the trap of God. Because you can't move God from his word. He cannot move. Boy, don't that make your chest just blow all out? Serving the God that we serve? Amen. Let me hurry up. I love bragging about God. Knowing this, so we don't preach the whole sermon on the one little word knowing, but knowing this. What's that next part? First. Anybody ever heard the word first? When you hear the word first in the Bible, what comes to your mind? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what does it say after that?
And all his righteousness.
And then what?
And all these things will be added unto you.
Oh. James is an awesome preacher too now. He done gave you the word. All these things. Whatever you need. God's going to perform it. Because he's first. He's first. Amen. Lord, that's good. Thank you, James. Let me get back to this. I'm just wrapped up in it this morning. Knowing this first. You're going through a lot of stuff, but knowing this first. You got a lot of financial junk coming at you, but knowing this first. You got a lot of physical stuff coming at you, but knowing this first. You get scared sometimes, but knowing this first. Sometimes you feel like you're overwhelmed and you don't know if you're going to make it or not, but knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. So you know what that tells me? Every time you hear a negative person say something negative about God, they are fulfilling Scripture. You want to get them really hot and say, I didn't know you believed in the Bible. I didn't know that you believed in prophesying. Because you just prophesied to me because you're saying you don't believe. Because it said in the last day there's going to be scoffers. So Peter describes the present world as a scoffing world. Where is the promise of your coming? I want you to see that, verse 3. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue. And they were from the beginning of the creation. What he's saying, the Bible's not true. That's all I've ever heard is you people talking about the Lord's coming. You're talking about the Lord's coming. I am so sick of that. You people just say that stuff and you don't even believe it yourself because he ain't come. He's not coming. There's no such thing as God. God says when you hear that kind of stuff, know that he is coming. I'm going to close right here. I got a lot more to tell you. But I'm going to close you with this phrase that I come across. You can laugh your way into hell, but you cannot laugh your way out of it. Preachers don't preach anymore about heaven or hell. They just preach about being rich and having everything in the world you want. They don't preach about sacrifice. They don't preach about anything like that. They just preach about making you feel good. And church is just geared to make you feel good. Don't you feel good about yourself this morning? I do. I came to a Bible-based church. I feel good about that. Amen? I feel good about that I can come and I can study the Word of God freely. I can come and hear people give the Word like James did this morning who know the Word. They live the Word. They preach the Word. I'm glad I'm a part of that. But there's scoffers out there that's going to tell you you're wasting your time. And there's people going to tell you because we're not really big that we don't have. Let me tell you something. We're two or three gathering his name. There he is. He meets us here every Sunday. He's going to take care of all of our growth problems. He's going to take care of all of our membership problems. Because he's a God of his word. And as long as the doors are open, he's going to take care of them. And when the rapture takes place, then they can have it and do what they want to with it, right? Because we won't be here. Stand to your feet if you will. We've got more to say, but we're going to close right now. It's a new world coming. God's going to justify all this stuff. All this stuff that the devil tells you people getting away with, they're not going to get away with it. But we're not to worry about all that. We're just worried about there's a heavenly home for us. There's a better place for us. And we're getting ready to go to that place. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for helping us understand this word. Because it's too big for us. There's no way we can physically understand all that you talk about in this word without your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'll encourage your believers today, and as they journey through this journey of faith, I ask you to give them courage and strength and help them each step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.